The police ombudsman Fisru has said that it has decided to take no further action in relation to the case of 22-year-old Evan Fitzgerald, the young man who fired shots in the air at a Carlow shopping centre before taking his life earlier this month. Questions have been raised in the Oireachtas about the way Gardaí conducted their investigation into Mr. Fitzgerald, who prior to his death was awaiting trial for possession of illegal weapons, which had been supplied to him by Gardaí as part of an undercover operation after they became aware that he tried to buy guns on the dark web. The weapon he used in the Carlow shopping centre was not one supplied to him by Gardaí. Independent Senator Michael McDougall, who we'll hear from shortly, said that this was a case of entrapment. He said weapons were supplied by An Garda Síochána in a setup of a naive man. And speaking under privilege in the Seanad, he said that a district court judge was not told the true facts of the case when he was deciding whether to grant Mr. Fitzgerald bail. Here's an edited extract of some of what Senator McDougall said in the Seanad.
When the matter came before the district court, the Gardaí initially opposed bail. When they eventually bail on certain conditions was granted, but District Judge Desmond Zaiden very naturally asked what he was told on sworn evidence that the allegation is that these individuals purchased these firearms on the dark net, but these individuals were not involved in organised crime. Those words were spoken to him. The judge later asked, when you say the dark web, do you have any idea who was selling them on the dark web? And a member of An Garda Síochána, in sworn evidence, told him, that is an ongoing investigation. At this stage, I wouldn't want to, and the judge said, compromise the trial. And he said, that is an ongoing investigation on the dark web. Now, I just want you to think about that. And it is a shocking thing, I have to say, Alaska Hurlick, that untrue and misleading evidence would be given to a judge of the Irish District Court in these circumstances, leaving him in the dark that these were decommissioned weapons supplied in a controlled delivery by members of An Garda Síochána in a setup. I believe that that is a shocking thing which needs investigation. And it raises the fundamental question of entrapment.
The Garda Commissioner Drew Harris defended the way in which Gardaí conducted their investigation. He was asked at the Public Accounts Committee during the week whether it was appropriate to deploy resources to this operation, which would normally be used in an organised crime or terrorist type operation.
I would absolutely say yes, because there have been many instances across the world, and only 2 weeks ago in Austria where 11 individuals were shot dead by a lone person. Sadly, a more frequent occurrence. There's very insidious material on the internet which seeks to radicalise young people. And we have to look at an individual and we have to look at the threat that they may create to the general public and deal with that appropriately. I have to say this was, in our view, a very successful operation in that we made sure that a threat to the public did not arise from the circumstances that we were dealing with. Subsequent events, tragic as they are on the 1st of June, obviously very tragic, but they did not arise from our operation that we conducted.
The issue of entrapment was also addressed at the Public Accounts Committee by the Deputy Garda Commissioner Justin Kelly. Mr. Kelly explained the difference between entrapment and controlled delivery, which happens when undercover Gardaí deliver guns or drugs to a suspect as part of their investigation.
Controlled deliveries are greatest use of that and common to most police forces would be around drugs. So if someone is importing drugs to, maybe to give a quite straightforward example, if someone is importing drugs into the country, the drugs come into the country, they've started that themselves, they've started that whole plan themselves. If we intercept them as they come into the country, if we do that and then we continue the delivery, as in An Garda Síochána then deliver the drugs to someone, that's not entrapment, that's a controlled delivery. So, however, if we were to encourage someone or to supply the drugs originally to them and they were to import them into a country, that's obviously entrapment. That's obviously something we don't do. There's clear case law in relation to controlled deliveries. We've had many, many cases that have been through the courts, been through contested trials. So controlled deliveries is a well-proven tactic.
The Deputy Commissioner also explained that the full details of a case would not normally emerge during a bail hearing.
In my experience, like, the detail of a controlled delivery would often come out, obviously, if there's a full hearing, if there's a contested trial, all that detail will come out. It would be unusual for it to come out in a bail. Like I say, a bail application is usually in relation to the risk that the person will not show at their next appearance if they're granted bail. So the general detail of the case is obviously comes up in bail. It's generally around what are the charges, the seriousness of the charges. That's usually what the bail concentrates on. So it would be unusual to go into a lot of granular detail around that for bail, because that's not the issue. The issue is whether there's a risk of flight, the seriousness of the offence, etc. There's a whole raft of things that are considered in bail applications.
Also at that committee, the Garda Commissioner Drew Harris was asked about the allegations made in the Shannon by Michael McDougall of entrapment, and that a district court judge had not been told the true facts during a bail hearing. He said that he had referred those allegations to the police ombudsman Fithru for their independent examination.
May I say that I took note of the comments that were made in the Shannon, and I referred those to the ombudsman for their consideration, and I haven't had a response back as yet as to what they would do. But I referred them under legislation and, in effect, an incident of concern, such as the seriousness of the allegations that were made.
Fithru, the police ombudsman, told this programme that the Garda Commissioner has no authority to ask the ombudsman to investigate any matter. However, it said it received a notification of concern from An Garda Síochána in relation to this case on the 21st of May, after details were published in the Mail on Sunday. And after requesting and receiving some additional information from Gardaí, it said that it had decided that no further action was required by the police ombudsman. Fithru then said it had further contact from the Garda Commissioner this week, as he explained in that clip, in which he notified them about the allegations made by Senator Michael McDougall in the Shannon. However, Fithru, the ombudsman, told this programme that as the matters concerned were the same in substance as those outlined in the previous notification on May 21st, there was nothing further to be considered by them. So what happens now? Well, we're joined in our studio by the independent Senator Michael McDougall, and I do want to make it clear that there are some of these matters are still before the court. So we need to be mindful of that in our discussion, that we don't prejudice anything. But can I first get your reaction, Senator McDougall, to that statement from Fithru, the ombudsman, headed up by Emily Logan, who is independent. She does not intend to investigate further the matters which were raised by you in the Shannon. What's your response to that?
I don't know precisely what was referred to Fithru. The Doyle Committee on Doyle Committee on Justice was told that the original Garda file had been sent to Fithru, and in the Sunday Times the following week they said they had not investigated the matter. They had merely indicated that on the basis of the material they got, they were taking no further action. Now we are told that my remarks in the Shannon as to what happened in the district court have been referred to Fithru, and you're telling me for the first time that Emily Logan has said that effectively she doesn't propose to bring the matter any further. I don't know. She hasn't contacted me, and I don't know why it is that she thinks that the matter shouldn't be taken any further. But can I say this? I agree with you, Justin. There are two other cases pending in this matter, so I have to be careful what I have to say to you. But the facts of this matter are that the district judge before whom these three people were brought charged was asked by the Gardaí to deny them bail. That meant that they would be kept in custody pending the outcome of their case. There was a debate in the district court as to whether that was appropriate or not. And in the course of that debate, in the court, District Judge Desmond Zaiden asked the Gardaí in relation to the a number of serious questions in relation to the weapons which it was alleged the accused were in possession of. And he asked them those questions, and then he asked the simple question. He asked, first of all, were they imitation firearms? No, he was told, they're not imitation firearms. Then he was asked the question at a later point, what kind of uses could they be made of? And he was told that he then said, you know, do you have any rough idea who was selling these weapons on the dark web? And at that point, he was given sworn testimony to the following effect, that that was the subject of an ongoing Garda investigation.
And you heard the Deputy Commissioner Justin Kelly say in the clip when he was asked in the Oireachtas about whether the full details of a matter would emerge during a bail hearing. And he said that granular detail wouldn't usually emerge during a bail hearing.
Yeah, but I've heard that point. But I mean, if a judge asks a guard who's giving sworn testimony whether or not the guard has any rough idea who was selling these weapons on the dark web, and if it transpires that nobody was selling them except the guard that you were supplying them, and that is deeply misleading, as in my view.
Okay, but
It is deeply misleading for this reason, that the decision whether or not to deny somebody bail is a matter which can destroy your career, destroy your job prospects, and have huge catastrophic consequences, not merely for Evan Fitzgerald, but for his co-accused. And if a judge asks a pertinent question, and that was a pertinent question, he's entitled to a truthful answer, because that is the oath that is taken by witnesses.
And the point that the Gardaí are making is that, you know, Not all information emerges during a bail hearing.
That's true. Yes. I fully accept that proposition.
And that this is likely to have come out during a contested hearing.
But that's not the issue. The issue was whether they should be remanded in custody pending trial. And can I finish this point, Justin, because you're sliding over it, if you don't mind me saying so. It is of crucial importance that when a guard gives evidence to a district judge who makes inquiries about the nature of the offence, whether it's a serious offence, whether the persons who are involved in it are likely to commit further serious offences, whether they're likely to turn up for trial, it is of crucial importance that when he poses that question, that he gets a truthful answer. And the answer he got was not truthful.
Okay. Now, do you think that this matter should be investigated by FISRU?
Well, at this stage, I'm completely gobsmacked that FISRU, I don't know whether they've looked at the digital audio recording of what happened in the district court as to whether they have actually examined what was said on oath to the district judge. But if they have, that's one thing, and I'd like to hear that. But if they haven't, and I don't believe they have, by the way, I think that it is very premature of them to say that they don't propose taking any further action in relation to a serious issue of this kind.
Have you made a referral to them? Have you asked them to investigate this, seeing as you have some of the information, you have raised a lot of it on the public domain? Have you gone to them and asked them to investigate?
No, it's not my function. I asked in the Shannon, and the clip you played earlier was part of this. I asked that the Department of Justice should arrange that the matter be properly investigated. I've spoken to various people involved in this. I questioned the Commissioner himself at the Joint Committee on Justice, and I am not satisfied that anybody has addressed the issue as to whether it is legitimate. I fully, by the way, believe in controlled deliveries where they are appropriate, but I do not believe that it's appropriate in any circumstance to give the district court a misleading answer.
Okay.
Because even if it is designed to assist a covert operation.
You have said that this case raises the fundamental question of entrapment. Now, we know that Evan Fitzgerald went on the dark web looking to buy weapons. Gardaí didn't coerce him into doing that. They were alerted to it by the fact to that fact by an international law enforcement agency that an individual was trying to buy guns, and they put together an operation posing as gun dealers and provided weapons which had been made safe. Isn't that a reasonable thing for Gardaí to do, and something which was done in the best interests of keeping the public safe?
It might be a reasonable thing to do if those were just the bare facts, Justin. But the fact is that on foot of his on foot of his posting this on the dark web. And he was a young man who was described by Judge Zeidan as naive and young. On foot of his doing that, the Gardaí were the only people, as far as we know, who contacted him back, and on foot of a tip-off from Interpol or some other agency. And they set up an elaborate process whereby they met him face-to-face and could identify him. They also advised him to get a burner phone, and he went to England to get a burner phone and came back to Ireland. There were, in my view and in Deputy Alan Kelly's view, there were other options open. And by the way, in the view of many members of An Garda Síochána, there were many other options open to them. And one of them was to confront Evan Fitzgerald, confront his family with what he had done, instead of setting up a very elaborate scheme of deception for him.
What's your response then to the Garda Commissioner's view that this was a successful operation, a very successful operation, he said? And you heard him raise the fact that individuals in other countries who have no links to terrorism or to criminal gangs have carried out terrible atrocities.
Well, when the Gardaí went before Judge Zeidan, they said that they were satisfied that this, that his interest in the firearms was more of an interest and a hobby, not for nefarious purposes. That's what they said at that time. They're changing their footing now to say that they were heading off a major potential threat.
To be fair, I don't think that's what the commissioner is saying. I think he's referencing the fact that in other cases, and the Gardaí, nobody knows the state of mind of any individual,
Justin, I agree with you completely. And that's why when they confronted him outside Fagan's pub in Drumcondra, face to face, and had the opportunity of identifying him, they had the opportunity of visiting him and saying, "What are you up to, Evan? This is very dangerous stuff." But instead of that, they set up a very elaborate scheme whereby two other people were sucked into it, who are facing the courts still, and I don't want to go into them. But they were the weapons were given to the dummy weapons were given to Evan Fitzgerald at a point near Strafford.
Okay, I'm not going to go into details that are not in the public domain now.
Sorry, this is in the public domain, at a point near Strafford. And subsequently, the car was driven some distance away from that, and a forcible arrest took place, whereby the windows in the car were smashed, the occupants dragged out, the weapons and the ammunition, which the Gardaí knew were dud, were seized. The people were detained under the Offences Against the State Act for 48 hours in various Garda stations. There could have been a very different outcome. And the real crux of the issue is this, that one of the conditions that the Gardaí exacted for them not being remanded in custody until the trial of this action, which, by the way, this hearing was over a year ago, one of the conditions was that they do not communicate with each other at all. And these were three childhood friends. They went every weekend to camp in the woods and things like that. And for Evan, the result was disastrous because he became slowly depressed, remorseful, and he came to the view that he had created massive trouble for his childhood friends. He feared that they would go to jail as a result of what he did.
Okay, I want to ask you about what should happen next. An Garda Síochána told this programme that the death of Mr Fitzgerald is now a matter for the independent coroner. Gardaí said in a statement to this programme that the coroner is best placed to determine such matters rather than speculation. Do you agree that that a coroner's inquest is the best place to establish the true facts of what happened?
There will be a coroner's inquest, but I mean the book of evidence that was to be served on all three accused, and Evan took his own life the day before his copy was to be served on him. But the
do you think there needs to be a further a separate investigation to the coroner's inquest?
Yeah, the reason is the book of evidence makes reference to undercover officers whose names are.
We have not seen the book of evidence.
I know you haven't. But the point I'm making is very
simple. What needs to happen next?
Justin, what I'm saying is that the coroner has a very limited role in determining why it was, or the circumstances in which Evan Fitzgerald shot himself at Carlow Shopping Centre. he has a very, very limited role. No, the full facts have not emerged. And the failure of the two crucial issues which I'm looking at to have investigated. One is, was it possible to choose a different approach to Evan Fitzgerald? And two, why was a district court judge misled when he asked a pertinent question?
And how do you want those addressed then? Do you think there needs to be some form of other inquiry?
Well, Minister O'Callaghan said he is in a position under the Garda Síochána Corner Acts, which I put through originally, he's in a position to have inquiries, and maybe that's what should happen.
And he has said that he is not going to do anything until the matters before the courts have been resolved. But for now, Independent Senator Michael McDill, thank you for coming in to talk to us today. Let's talk now to former Assistant Garda Commissioner Dr. Pat Leahy for more on the use of controlled delivery and the term which is used to describe the delivery of weapons or drugs by Gardaí as part of an undercover operation. Pat Leahy, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Justin.
On the face of it, it sounds surprising that Gardaí would supply weapons to a suspect as part of a criminal investigation. But Gardaí say that this is an internationally recognised and accepted investigative technique. Is that right?
Absolutely. Across the globe, police are using these approaches and tactics. And the guards are very experienced in this area, Justin, predominantly in the drugs area, but that extends into other areas. So, look, they have experience in this, and I would have no doubt that certain safeguards were addressed in advance. For example, they would certainly have considered and do consider, I know this from experience, the human rights principles of legality, necessity, proportionality, non-discrimination and accountability would form the basis for some of their decision making. And so I would expect that would have been done. But we can't get into the detail because not enough information is in the public domain to determine whether it was right or wrong. But everything is underpinned by a public safety imperative. That's why the guards engage in this. It's the public safety rationale which guides their activities in all of this. And that's across the globe.
We did hear the Deputy Garda Commissioner Justin Kelly in the clip we played earlier explain the difference between controlled delivery and entrapment. But is there a fine line between the two?
There is, Justin, and indeed I would imagine that those conversations took place, and I can remember over the years being involved in some of those conversations where you're so acutely aware of straying into that domain that you have to be crystal clear in what you're doing, because there are fine lines there. And again, because it's been driven by a public safety imperative, you want to get as close as you can to protecting the public, but you don't want to stray beyond your legal obligations. And I would imagine that the guards were crystal clear in this domain, but they are very fine lines for sure. And I suppose that the issue that I see arising now is that there's a kind of a public trust and confidence issue emerging. And that will most certainly have to be addressed at some stage, because a young man has lost his life. There's a family grieving, and, you know, people need answers. And when you're in the public domain like this, and for such a sensitive matter on all fronts, it's sensitive. I think at some stage there'll have to be clear openness and transparency about what happened and how it happened and what the facts of the case were. But we're not going to determine those over the air, Justin, for sure.
But I do think
there's another element that probably needs to kick in at some stage.
So then, in terms of addressing those questions, and Michael McDougall has raised some of them, those questions which, if they're not answered, can erode public confidence in the Gardaí's policing methods. What do the Garda management need to do to address those?
Well, the public trust and confidence is the lifeblood of the whole criminal justice system, because policing is the ground floor in all of this. So almost everything comes through the policing hands first. And if public trust and confidence isn't strong there, everything else is up to be questioned. So it's really, really important that this is addressed. So at some stage, when the time is right, some of the questions that are being asked in public now will have to be answered. So and they'll have to be answered independently. Someone who is trusted by the community, trusted by the politicians, somebody is going to have to go and say, we've been through this, we've looked at this, we've gone through this, and we're happy or we're not happy, whatever comes out. Okay. But I do think we're in that space at the moment, that the public discourse that's happening, you know, really, really requires us to answer questions in relation to this, to not only to put the families' minds at rest, but put the public minds at rest as well.
All right. Pat, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's former Assistant Garda Commissioner Dr. Pat Leahy. We'll be back with more after this break.